Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day. It was only selected because Gary Gerald used to do motor racing. Actually met the guy who says he's the, on Saturday, who says he's the other IndyCar fan and says he relates to you.
I met a few of those in the last month or so that have shared that sentiment with me.
Even he freely admits the thing's going downhill. All right.
Now, there were a lot of people that I talked to over the last month that shared my love for IndyCar.
Well, Gary Gerald, who, by the way, did a great job in the pits all those years, has always been the longtime voice of the Sacramento Kings. And he has the call last night on KHTK as Rudy Gay gives the Kings the lead.
Harden has the ball knocked out of his hands by Caskey. Gets grabbed by Rudy. Kings push three on, four on two. Rudy with a power jam over the top. Oh, that's got him dancing. And there was a foul call. Look at the people bobbing up and down, bouncing in abject joy at the Rudy Gay jam.
And here comes Mario into the pits. They're going to change all four tires.
You have to admit, though, that was pretty funny, though.
That was good. Oh, yeah. That was good. No, Gary's a good announcer. Really good announcer. It's our play-by-play call of the day. Joe Moorhead, the new offensive coordinator for Penn State, along with head coach James Franklin, met with the media today, and the two of them discussed his hiring here at Penn State.
Really excited about the opportunity. You know, we probably have had 40 conversations or so over the last couple of weeks, to come up with this decision where we both were very, very comfortable in terms of philosophy, in terms of direction of what we wanted, the offense to go as well as Penn State. So really appreciate everybody being here. I'm fired up about Joe and his family joining our Penn State family. And I'll obviously give Coach Moorhead an opportunity.
Yes, obviously, very thrilled to be here at Penn State. It's a tremendous opportunity for myself and my family, both professionally and personally, coming back close to home and to be able to contribute to such a tradition-rich program like Penn State and help Coach Franklin and the program, achieve their goals. I'm incredibly thankful to Coach and Sandy Barber for giving me this opportunity, and look forward to rolling up my sleeves and getting to work. We have a base, offensive system or structure that we believe in, and ultimately when it comes down to offensive football, it's about putting points on the board, and specifically one more than the defense allows. But we really want the trademarks of our offense. We want to, dictate the tempo. We want to be aggressive. We want to be attacking. We want to be physical in the run game and create explosive plays in the pass game.
Me and Joe have kind of, our paths have crossed a number of times. I got a chance to listen to him clinic a year ago and was very, very impressed by his intelligence and how detail-oriented he was. You hear about his background with Walt Harris in the West Coast offense, and you guys know my background in the West Coast offense, so there's some parallels there and some things that, kind of how we both have kind of grown up in the profession. I think those things helped. And then after that, it was, for me, it was the data. As you mentioned, I have a list at every position. But with the coordinator positions, you want to study data. And although I have feelings and thoughts about what we were looking for, and there's a long list. Obviously, if we could have somebody with Pennsylvania ties, that would be helpful. Not the end-all, be-all, but it'd be helpful. The fact that Coach is from Western PA, the fact that Coach is from Pittsburgh Central Catholic, I think those things help. He's got a lot of connections and networks in the area. the fact that he's been a head coach from a leadership perspective was I think important. And the fact that he's, you know, had a big impact on a program overall. And then at the end of the day, you take all those guys on your list and you run all the data.
I'll defer that to Coach, but I'm going to have a very, you know, no role in the game planning process. To me, it's about, you know, sitting down and getting to meet the kids and, you know, being out of practice and more observing the talent than anything like that, because I don't think it's fair for me right now, not knowing our personnel, you know, not being here the whole year. And I don't think, you know, that's not necessarily something that, you know, I think would benefit, you know, the team. So whatever's best for the team, and Coach and I have had those discussions.
Yeah.
And, you know, I left a great situation at Fordham. You know, I had a long-term contract. We had a tremendous amount of success. It was my alma mater. You know, I loved our kids. But when you look at the opportunity to come to Penn State and be the offensive coordinator and you know, be a part of a program on the rise that has great things on the horizon and do it 2 hours from home. And, you know, my mom and dad and my wife's parents are still from, you know, still live in Western PA. And to get a chance to have our kids closer to home, I think, you know, it was mutual. It was an incredibly difficult decision. And because of the success we've had the past 4 years, and, you know, that's certainly attributable to our players and our coaching staff, there have been opportunities for me to leave Fordham. You know, I had an offer after last year at the FBS level and you know, had some other things the years before. And, you know, as I told all of our players and the kids that we were recruiting, you know, for me to leave Fordham, it was going to have to be a special, special opportunity at the FBS level. And obviously the offensive coordinator job at Penn State is one of those opportunities. And, you know, as an assistant coach coming up and, you know, spending a lot of time doing that, you know, I think having the perspective of a head coach will make me a better assistant in the sense that I can kind of anticipate what coach is looking for and, you know, see some of the things that he wants. And, you know, until you've sat in that chair, you know, sometimes as an assistant, you really don't understand until you've been there. So I think I can, you know, offer, you know, coach a perspective if he needs it on anything. And, you know, certainly I think my head coaching experience will, you know, like I said, help me be a better assistant the second time through. But, you know, the great thing about it is obviously the transition in moving in the coaching profession can be difficult on a family. And, you know, we've been at places, you know, 4 and 5 years. And, you know, normally the transition is most difficult on your kids. But in this instance, I was being nudged by the family to take the job more than they were concerned about it. And, you know, my daughter was
And that's because they're going to get a chance to live close to campus instead of living in Greenwich and trying to go to Fordham. That's Joe Moorhead, James Franklin, together today at a press conference. So, I think it's a great hire, but again, it's going to come down to, look, you're going to have to tailor whatever you do to the personnel you have. It's just the bottom line, that's what it is. You don't come in, you're not a miracle worker. And I think he'll do a great job, and I thought it was a great hire. And once he got things in place in Fordham the way he wanted it, hit the accelerator. And now you have each coordinator with head coaching experience, because Bob Shoup had been the head coach at Columbia. So, I mean, they both know what runs through James Franklin's mind as a head coach and the decisions you have to make. But you saw obviously, in each of the last 4 years, Fordham play with him as the head coach.
Well, then their offense never was an issue. Their defense never was an issue either. I mean, we're talking about a team that, even if they didn't win the Patriot League, still had enough reputation and enough points, theoretical points, from beating teams like Villanova and so forth to get into the FCS tournament as an at-large. And Patriot League teams don't often get at-large bids.
Right. They don't. And did a great job there, and he's going to be a welcome addition here. He's going to sit down with each of the players for about 15, 20-minute meetings per. And that's where making, you know, since James Franklin decided to make a decision and a change there, he did it early enough, which allowed him, A, to go through an extensive interview process, but then also to have the person, and in this case, Joe Moorhead, on hand where he can now get a feel for personnel, 15, 20-minute interviews with each returning member of the offense so that he gets to hear them out, he gets to know them a little bit, and then he'll be a part, he'll be looking at the bowl practices. But I think what he said was correct. Ricky Ronnie's going to call the game. Ricky Ronnie will be the one that will call the game as the offensive coordinator. If they want Joe's opinion on something as they lead up to it, he said he's more than happy to jump in and do that. But at the same time, he doesn't know the personnel. I mean, he's starting to know the personnel, and he may have read about the personnel, but he doesn't know the personnel. And that just takes a little bit. Look, part of devising any game plan is you have to not only know the strengths and weaknesses of the team you're playing, you have to know the strengths and weaknesses of what you have. And you have to know what matchups can I exploit and what matchups scare the daylights out of me that they can exploit against me, and how do I cover that up? We will take a break. Luke Skywalker and I will be back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Santa, all of these wish lists say they want a new Kia.
No worries, Jingle. It's the Holidays on Us sales event at Sunbury Motors Kia. I
wanna see you in a Kia.
Sunbury Motors Kia can fill everyone's wish list with a new Kia. It's Kia's Holidays on Us sales event. Just listen to this gift from Sunbury Motors Kia. No payments until May.
You heard right, May.
Plus 0% financing for up to 66 months on 2015 Optimus and 2016 Serrano, Sportages, Souls, and Fortes. So remember, all new Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. So go ahead, overspend on presents for the family, because you'll still be able to get a brand new Kia from Sunbury Motors Kia with 0% financing and Sunbury Motors' incredible price. And not have to make a payment until May.
The holidays are on us.
At Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf and at sunburymotors.com.
Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, retailer, or go to kia.com.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. As we roll on. Great to have you with us here on this Wednesday. And Kevin's getting ready for a big Star Wars weekend. That's fine. Rest of us have to work, but that's all right.
I haven't worked in years.
Boy. Never a truer. No. All right, so.
Haven't worked in years. What's the old adage? If you love what you do, it'll never be work. There you go.
You say so. Okay. Let's see. You had something on here about Abby Wambach.
Yes, she's retiring.
And, okay.
Yeah, she's retiring.
That's fine. Great career.
I understand.
Move on. I don't think it's not earth shattering. She's not a transcendent figure in the sport.
That was the point I wanted to. That's the point I was actually wanted to discuss. She has not been. She has been probably more decorated than Mia Hamm as far as gold medals and World Cups and big. She has the most goals scored in international competition of any U.S. male or female soccer player ever, but yet doesn't seem to have the same aura of popularity around her as Mia Hamm does.
Because Mia Hamm was part of the first group that was out there and exposed to the country is a great player, and I think that that has a lot to do with it. I think sometimes when you're the first, you're the one that all of a sudden people kind of hook on to, get interested in, and you know, what a great player she is and so forth. And then over time, I mean, you know, Abby Wambach's another great player. Well, she is a great player. She's one of the great, truly great players that U.S. women's soccer has ever produced. But again, this is, here's the issue with sports that are not in the everyday consciousness. All right, Abby Wambach shows up at an Olympics or will show up at a World Cup, and you're like, oh, okay, yeah, that's right. They're playing Abby Wambach. She's a great player. Okay. Right. After that, you're in the witness protection program until the event comes up again.
That's very true.
You know, your guy, Michael Phelps, for example, shows up every 4 years at the Olympics, wows us, gets in a little trouble away from the pool, and then wows us again. Usain Bolt, 4 years. Okay, tell me how he did in his last meet. All right, now tell me what Brock Osweiler did on Sunday. I didn't say Ben Roethlisberger. I said Brock Osweiler. Most people who know football will tell you right away he struggled in the second half and they lost to the Raiders 15-12. What did Andy Dalton do Sunday?
Got hurt.
But I'm saying, though, you know what they did.
Right, right.
The Phillies trade Ken Giles. Phillies fans not happy. 1.82 ERA. They know all about it. Okay, what did Abby Wambach do in January in an international friendly? Anybody?
You're absolutely right. You do not at all hear anything unless it's Olympics, but even more than Olympics, World Cup time.
Also, she has not been, and I don't have any idea whose fault this is, she has not been a commercial entity on a national scale. Now, for example, there's that cute commercial with Landon Donovan using his phone to pay for his jersey. All right, and you know his name is Don O'Van. He goes, and X over there is our best player. And of course, so Donovan, boom, 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 and he hit it, goes off his hands, his face. All right, but Landon Donovan at least is in a commercial like that. Mia Hamm's been in commercials. Abby Wambach has not. Now she endorses things, but not on a wide scale like that. LeBron James is on a wide scale. Sidney Crosby has been really the, you know, for better or worse, the face of the NHL. J.J. Watt plays for the Houston Texans. The Houston Texans. He does not play for the New England Patriots. He plays for the Houston Texans, who have never even been to an AFC championship game. Yet, he is a widespread commercial success. Cam Newton for yogurt. You know, baseball players all over the place. You're going to see more and more Steph Curry. Serena Williams probably makes as much money away from the tennis court as she does on the tennis court. Now, you have four major tournaments a year, Australia, the French, Wimbledon, U.S. Open. Same thing in golf. Look at Jordan Spieth. Under Armour, by the way, had a huge year. Look at the Under Armour athletes that have made huge money. It's a good year for Under Armour. They did a great job with it. But Steph Curry, Jordan Spieth, Rory McIlroy, they're all commercial successes. Now, golf is played all year round, too, and has a national television contract for tournaments. Women's soccer is tremendous, and the United States is the best in the business at it. Abby Wambach's been a big reason why But again, she retires, and you're like, okay. Derek Jeter retires, and it's a summer-long fun fest. And there's nothing disparaging about it. Awesome player. Great player. And in women's soccer circles, one of the greatest ever. Is she a transcendent sports figure? No.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us today. Time now for our sports bozo of the day. Browns coach Mike Pettine does not consider Russell Wilson of the Seahawks be among the top three or four quarterbacks in the NFL. That's okay. He's got Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, and Ben Roethlisberger. I think Brees has fallen back a little bit. The Browns travel to take on Seattle. Wilson has 16 touchdown passes and no interceptions in his last four games on a passer rating of 145.9. Patton was asked to compare Wilson and his own quarterback, Johnny Manziel. I think the first thing is the experience level. Wilson's been in the league longer, and he's been in the system longer, and he's just played more. No, he's just flat out better than your guy. Guess what? Russell Wilson played really well as a rookie quarterback, not just as an experienced quarterback. You certainly see the similarities. I don't. They've done a nice job up there of kind of building a package around him. He's more of a runner than we see in Johnny, which is actually true. He said, I'm talking about called quarterback runs. Johnny will get his rush yards when the pocket breaks down and he has to get out. Look, the bottom line is Russell Wilson's just better. I see the similarities. Similarities of what? What are the similarities between Russell Wilson and Johnny Manziel? I mean, they both can move, but Russell Wilson's really good. And he doesn't have exactly Jerry Rice and John Taylor to throw to, you know that? So, Mike Pettine, sports bozo of the day.
Listen, he's just trying to find something to talk about that gets the Cleveland Browns noticed nationally at for any reason other than Manziel doing something dumb.
Is Russell Wilson one of the top three or four quarterbacks in the league? No, I don't think he is. But I think Mike Pettine was right about that, that he's right there in that next tier. Right there. But the part about comparing his guy to Russell Wilson, they aren't even the same. Okay, the only thing they have in common right now is they're both starting quarterbacks in the NFL.
They're both playing in the NFL.
That's it. And it's no more, no less than that. Johnny Manziel, Russell Wilson plays a really mature game. Johnny Manziel, there is no way that you would use the word maturity on or off the field the way Johnny Manziel is right now. But that's another day. Brock Osweiler, by the way, will be the starter against the Steelers. Peyton Manning did practice today. Whether or not Peyton Manning will be dressed remains to be seen. They haven't made that decision yet. My point being is this. What if Osweiler has a rough start and Manning is active? And evidently, Manning threw the ball really well in practice today. But Osweiler will be the starter against the Steelers.
Not sure how I feel about that.
About what?
About which one I would want to have playing the Steelers.
Well, you know my theory on that. It's very simple. I don't care who's over there. If I do my own deal, I'll win. You worry about what you have.
I am, and that's what has me worried about it. This is a secondary that doesn't really stop anybody.
Yeah, but you've got Ben Roethlisberger. You've got Antonio Brown. Bryant's really coming on. Whedon's coming on.
Agreed.
D'Angelo Williams might be the best offseason pickup of anybody. Heath Miller. I mean, the other day I saw him make another one-yard catch, and everybody chanted his name. Heath. I go, it's second and nine. What is the average, 1.8 yards a catch?
Who cares? There's not many tight ends in the NFL that you can count on to be a check down, to be available, and also, by the way, make a block before he goes out into the pattern.
I think he's the best all-around tight end.
And I'm telling you right now, I love the fact that Jesse James is playing behind him. I really like that. It gives him a chance to learn from Heath Miller, because I think James can become Heath Miller in a few years.
Heath, it's second and eight. Okay.
Tell me this. You've seen a lot of James. Mm-hmm. Is he comparable to blocking and receiving wise with a Heath Miller? Does he have the potential to be a Heath Miller, an all-around type tight end?
Heath Miller will always be a little bit more polished. Heath Miller, there's no tight end that pulls into the hole, maybe in the history of the league, better than Heath Miller. Dependable as a receiver, makes a lot of plays. You can get the ball downfield to him. You can get the ball as a check down. I think all 32 teams would love to have Heath Miller. Whatever they do after Heath Miller will be a little bit of a step back. I think Jesse might be physically stronger than Heath Miller. There are very few people I've been around that are physically stronger than Jesse James. He moves well, and he's a big strider, so he eats up a lot of ground as he runs. But there's something about the polish of Heath Miller that is very, very special. Very special.
I know everybody puts Gronkowski as the best tight end in the NFL. And I'm not saying that that's wrong. I'm just wondering how well is it because of his receiving, or is it because of his overall play? Because I think of him more as a receiver than I do a blocker.
Well, Heath Miller's a better blocker. Heath Miller's a better all-around tight end. But if I have a choice between the two, I'd take Gronkowski.
I totally agree with you, because Gronkowski is going to get you points. I mean, and that's the ultimate goal in the NFL or any football game.
Here's the difference. Heath Miller, as a blocker, is off the charts. He is an excellent receiver. But you know when the one thing Heath Miller does not do that Gronkowski does? And this has everything to do with genetics. Heath Miller does not create mismatches.
No, I'd agree with that.
Gronkowski creates massive mismatches. He just can't climb the ladder and get the ball when he's out there. Brady can throw the ball high all the time and keep it away from people, because Gronkowski's going to go up and get it, and Gronkowski's fast. Miller's a better blocker. I think Miller might be more consistent as a receiver. But the one thing that Gronkowski does that Miller does not do is that Gronkowski creates mismatches, and Miller does not.
By the way, Heath Miller averaging 9 yards a catch this year. for his career, averaging 11 yards a catch.
He's second and seven. All right.
Against New England, he averaged 10.5. Against San Francisco, 7.5. That was a win. 8.5 against St. Louis, win. Lost in overtime to Baltimore and only caught one ball. He was only targeted twice in that game.
Stop defending him. You know most of the catches are under 5 yards.
Who
know
cares?
The game.
I don't care.
The other guys are like going downfield.
I don't care.
Second and six.
Caught 13 against the, or caught 10 against the Bengals for an average of 10.5. Oakland averaged 10.5. Cleveland averaged 10. Seattle averaged 9. Listen, if you're getting 9 yards on second down, I'm happy with that. Now, if it's 9 yards on third down, you're a yard short of a first. Yes.
I always love these segments where we get into the Steelers and you just start defending the indefensible. All right. It's comical.
And I am not saying Heath Miller is better than Rob Gronkowski. Do not read anything into that. I am not saying that at all.
I think my assessment was very fair.
I agree with you.
I said Miller's a better blocker. Miller's a very dependable receiver. But the one area as to why I would pick Gronkowski over Miller if I were picking a tight end is Gronkowski creates incredible mismatches. There's nobody out there that actually can cover him one-on-one if you want to, you know, if you want to play ball.
And I'm totally in agreement with you.
He's just a genetic freak. You just can't help that. I think Miller had 2 catches in Beaver Stadium. It wasn't a good day. He was shut down.
Actually, I think I have his collegiate stats here.
That Schaub was the quarterback. Let's say won that game easily. It was in November.
What year? What year was that?
I want to say 2002.
Okay, the only thing I have is 04 stats. 04, 41 catches, averaged 13 yards a catch.
Well, no, he's great, really good college player. He's a really good college player. Yeah, but he played once in Beaver Stadium. Didn't win.
Wins now. That's all that matters to me.
Wins now. Well, you are in the playoffs right now, right?
Just a matter of time.
Okay, which guy in front of you is losing?
I think that the Jets.
Really?
Honestly, you know what? I'll tell you where I think the Steelers, and you are going to laugh hysterically at this, so be prepared to laugh. I honestly believe the Steelers have a shot at the division, and I don't think it's crazy. I don't think it's a crazy shot at the division. I realize the Bengals have
to win one game.
I know that. I do know that. They're at San Francisco. All right. I don't know how well the Bengals typically play on the West Coast.
Excuse me. Hold on a second here. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
So again, we're in typical Kevin Herr contradiction mode.
Okay. Why is that contradiction mode?
A year and a half ago on this show, all you kept touting was A.J. McCarron. Well, now he's the quarterback, and you're telling me he can't win.
No, I'm not telling you A.J. McCarron can win. I'm telling you I still think he's better than the alternative in Cincinnati right now.
You hate that I remember.
No, I didn't say he could win. I said I think he brings more opportunity to the table for the Bengals than what they have. And I still believe that. I just don't know if he's going to win the games that he needs to win right now.
No, I don't. You know what I noticed on Sunday when he got in the game? How careful the Bengals were.
Oh, yeah, they were very careful. You're right.
And you can't be careful in this game. You can't play not to lose.
I think if you're going to be successful, especially now, you got to play to win. You can't play not to lose. And I think the Bengals, once McCarron got in, were trying with their offense to not lose the game.
I mean, the only numbers that Andy Dalton has, when and here's what I like to compare, and you're probably going to disagree with me. I like to look at touchdowns to interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah. 2011, 20-13, touchdowns, interceptions. 2012, 27-16, not bad. 2013, 33 touchdowns, but 20 interceptions. That's an awful lot of interceptions there. By the way, the year before he was also sacked 46 times too. Now, he starts to improve a little bit in 14, where he's 19 touchdowns to 17 interceptions, but that's still way too many. That ratio doesn't work for me. Now, this year is by far Andy Dalton's best year if you look at touchdown to interception. That's 25-7. And he has a passer rating of 106, which is well above his career average. Mm-hmm. So with the exception of this year, he's been an quarterback.
Kevin, he also started as a true rookie. It takes time. This is not an easy league. You think it's an easy league? I mean, my goodness, Ben Roethlisberger was a glorified game manager for 2 years.
Ben was successful right out of the gate.
Kevin, Ben Roethlisberger was a game manager for 2 years, right? And then once he got the total feel for the game, he became a dominant figure on the field.
W's are what matters to me.
Oh, what do you think Andy Dalton does? He wins?
Yeah, this year he's done well.
He's been in the playoffs every year he's been the quarterback there. They haven't won any games in the playoffs. But again, it's the same thing. Now, he is not Roethlisberger. Nowhere will he ever be in the class of Roethlisberger. I think Ben is one of the special quarterbacks I've seen in a while in this league and doesn't get enough credit for being that. Right? But don't let your prejudice about the fact that you can't stand this team and you don't like him get in the way of the fact that he started from day one, was a game manager a lot like Roethlisberger was, and now has grown into the job and had himself a really good year.
No, I don't dislike him personally. I don't know him personally.
But, okay, again, the difference is that they were like Roethlisberger. Roethlisberger was a game manager his first 2 years. Very talented, but still a game manager. You didn't really look at him and go, win the game for us, babe. That's okay, we got a running game. You just make some throws, you'll be fine.
This year is the exception. Andy Dalton was the 21st ranked quarterback in efficiency in 2014.
What is this? His fifth year, fourth year? What is
fifth year. This is his fifth year.
Fifth year. Fine. He's not Roethlisberger, but he's grown into the job. Right? He was thrown in right away and expected to play. He did not have the personnel around him. They've grown that personnel.
That's very true. There wasn't a lot.
And he's never going to be Roethlisberger. But Roethlisberger was a game manager when he started and then grew into being an awesome quarterback. Okay, Roethlisberger has two Super Bowl titles. One game managed. The other one, they gave the MVP to the wrong guy. He should have gotten it. Roethlisberger against the Cardinals was off the charts, unbelievable in that game. One of the finest Super Bowl performances I've ever seen as a quarterback. His game against Seattle? It's Trent Dilfer. And that's not putting him down. They won. He made enough play. He didn't make mistakes and blow the game. They won. Was he a reason why they won? Yeah. Did they throw it on his shoulders to win in the Super Bowl? No. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Santa, all of these wish lists say they want a new Kia.
No worries, Jingle. It's the Holidays Hot Off Sales Event at Sunbury Motors Kia.
I want to see you
Murray Motors Kia can fill everyone's wish list with a new Kia. It's Kia's Holidays on Us sales event. Just listen to this gift from Sunbury Motors Kia. No payments until May.
You heard right, May.
Plus 0% financing for up to 66 months on 2015 Optimus and 2016 Serenos, Sportages, Souls, and Fortes. Remember, all new Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. So go ahead, overspend on presents for the family, because you'll still be able to get a brand new Kia from Sunbury Motors Kia with 0% financing and Sunbury Motors' incredible pricing,
and not have to make a payment until May.
The holidays are on us
at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf and at sunburymotors.com.
Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, retailer, or go to kia.com.
Welcome back. Another session where Kevin hates Andy Dalton.
Hates a strong word, Stephen.
It's the entire team I dislike, and not Andy Dalton.
I see. Okay, two games up at you in the standings.
Not for long.
But the good news. But the good news is you've got all the tiebreak. No, let's see. Wait a minute. Head-to-head even. Division record. No, that's them. Common opponents. That's the number three tiebreak. No, that's them. Conference record. Oh, no, that's them. Damn it. You better hope they go 0-3, dog. Because you have no tiebreaker on them.
Works for me. I have no problem with them going 0-3 and the Steelers going 3-0. I'll proudly wear my division championship hat.
Just get to the game. Get to the playoffs. I don't care how you get there. Just get there.
Right now, they need something to happen in front of them.
I hate not controlling your own destiny.
Well, to their credit, they put themselves in that spot. I'll tell you, if they make the playoffs, which I think they will, the one game that I'll look back on and say, how the heck did they do that, was Arizona.
Yep.
How in the heck did they beat Arizona?
Totally with you.
If they play Arizona 10 times, Arizona beat them 8.
9.